Welcome to the Play-Based Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Kristen R.B. Peterson, and maybe your new teacher bestie that is here to hype you up, maybe give you a motivating kick in the pants, and teach you all I know about play and childhood. I am here to help you challenge old and outdated practices and inspire you to create a truly developmentally appropriate early childhood environment that fosters creativity, curiosity, and joy in the children that you care for. Let's set the stage for a lifelong love of learning. Let's get going. I still wish we could figure out what our opening was.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody is listening right now who's just like screaming it in their car.
Probably. Okay. Welcome to the Play-Based Learning Podcast. This is Kristen.
There we go. This is Tiffany.
And Tiffany's here. And we used to do a podcast together called Q&A with TNK. And if you listened to the last episode, you heard us trying to figure out what our opening was then. And now we're recording again and we still don't know fully. Welcome with TNK. I'm Kristen.
I'm Tiffany.
I don't know. Okay.
Yep, there it was. Perfect. Nailed it.
10 out of 10. Well, what I do remember is tell me something good.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I think about that.
And then we would tell each other something good.
Yeah.
Aw.
Tell me something good, Kristen.
Tell me something good. I've turned into a plant lady since you met me.
Congratulations. Yeah. Welcome.
Like major plant lady.
What's your favorite? What's your like pride and joy? Your best baby?
I have so many, but I think my, good question. I have ones that I love just because of the way they look. They make me super happy. But then like I have like a rare one that I really love because it's got really cool leaves. So the rare one is a white princess philodendron.
Ooh.
So it's like leaves are white and green. And I love that one. It's just a little guy and I'm trying to get him bigger, of course. Oh no. Okay. My best plant ever is a Swiss cheese, like a mini Monstera. Actually, I think those are two different ones. It's a mini Monstera, but mini Monsteras are vining. So they climb and some of my vines are at 25, 30 feet long.
Yeah.
And they go all the way up and there's four or five vines that come out of the pot and then they all split in two towards the top. But I have 15 foot ceilings in my living room and they go all the way up to the ceiling and I have to wrap them around still. I'll send you a picture, but that's probably my pride and joy. And then the one I think that makes me the happiest is actually right above my computer and it's a fishbone cactus.
Ooh.
Have you ever seen a fishbone cactus?
No, I can't be trusted with cactuses. I'm too damp. So it's really too moist for cacti.
You see it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love
like
those.
It's like a succulent, so you only have to water it like very infrequently. But I can't do cactuses either. This is the only one that, it does fine. And I can handle aloe. Those are the only two like succulent cactusy plants that I'm able to keep alive.
Killed like four aloe, but the one I have now is still hanging on. So we'll see.
Yeah, so that's my something good. That plants just make me so happy. Like it's an addiction and a huge hobby. And I bet I have close to like 50 plants now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Okay, tell me something good about you.
It's been sunny. And my kids are just now, Judy's all like 2.5 and Guy is almost 7.
Yeah.
And they will just like go outside and play.
Yeah.
And I don't have to like follow a toddler around and make sure they're not putting weird things in their mouth.
Yeah.
Or like just running off. Like they just go outside and play.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so lovely.
That is so lovely. Okay, remember that time we podcasted at your house and then we decided to go to the dive bar up the road from your house,
Oh yeah, the
like a
bungalow.
mobile home. And we went to the bar and then we had some drinks and then we walked home in the dark and we thought Slender Man was gonna get us. And we like arm in arm walked all the way on the dark, scary road where there's bears.
I was
And
gonna say, was that pre or post bear
that's
chase?
pre. That was
Pre bear chase?
during the
Okay.
bears. That was like,
Yeah.
we had
Peak
bears.
bears.
We had bears. And we thought
I
we
did
were
get
things in the
chased by a bear
woods.
once while
Oh
I
my
was pushing
gosh.
children down that road. But I think it was, that's why I think it was before the bear chase incident, or I would have been like,
Oh,
nah,
yeah,
bro.
no, it had
Like,
to
we're
have been.
not.
No, and then wasn't it the next morning or something that Kurt was out walking and a porcupine strutted across the trail or something like that? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm coming to visit you. Okay. We're talking about what. So I get this question a lot, like, what, how do you do child-led learning, emergent curriculum, like interest-based learning in a classroom that has 20 preschool kids? Like, how does one teacher possibly like look at the interests of each child individually, and like, how can you possibly do it? It sounds so, when you see it like written out or when you see people talking about it, it just seems like, oh yeah, just like follow the children's lead and like just like do what they're interested in. And it's like, yeah, but like, how do you do that when you have 20 kids or 15 kids? Like, how do you possibly track that? What are, so I just wanted your thoughts. I want to know all the things.
I don't think it's a quantity of kids concern. I think it's a years of experience concern.
Okay, tell me more.
Because, okay, so when I first started teaching, I was in survival mode
Yeah.
and I was up late at night prepping crap for tomorrow, looking at Pinterest obsessively,
Absolutely.
finding all the slime recipes, like, oh shoot, I tried this one and it didn't work and it got everywhere and it ruined every single apron because now they're glued together. Like, or like this art project was no fun and no one wanted to do it and everybody cried. Like, that's what the first year is until you
Yeah.
start getting your like greatest hits album accumulated. And to me, having that greatest hits album is how you can say, hey, I noticed that this group is mixing colors a lot. And so I think I'm going to make sure that we have like enough weird tiny spoons out tomorrow, and I'll just leave them there to see what they do with it. As opposed to like, I'm not coming home each night researching what I think this group will like to do and how to go with it. Sometimes I'm like, this group likes music and we don't have any musical instruments. So
Yeah.
like, sometimes I'm doing that, but a lot of the times it's like, ooh, this reminds me of someone else I've another kid that I've had, another experience that
Yeah.
unfolded somehow that I can like plop or lead us to without a
Yeah.
lot of effort on my part. It's just like recipes at home that you cook that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
Like, I can make Play-Doh with my eyes closed, but then you get a new teacher who's like trying out all the different Play-Doh recipes and thinking like it's never occurred to them that you could put like tiny graters and nutmeg out with it. Like, you
Yeah.
have to just, and to me, I'm just like, well, I made a pot of coffee and you guys keep wanting to make coffee. So let's make coffee Play-Doh. Like, it's hot water,
Yeah.
it'll work. Like, I don't put any effort into that because it's the same as cooking a batch of pancakes at home or whatever, you know?
Right. I did an interview with somebody, and I can't even remember who said this now, but they said if something takes longer than 5 minutes to set up, they don't do it.
Yeah.
I love that
Same.
rule.
Same.
Yeah. I'm that way with social media right now. If it takes me longer than 5 minutes to like create something, I'm not doing
Not doing it.
it.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
so there's more to it though. So it's not just that like, oh, you have to try all the weird stuff and sometimes it fails and sometimes it rocks and then like once you get enough, 'cause that still sounds very teacher directed.
Yeah.
But to me, that's where the next piece of the relationship comes in.
Yeah.
That you have to know that Amelia loves puzzles
Yeah.
and unicorns. And so, like, how will I bring her joy today? How will she find delight in showing up tomorrow? And then like that to me is the crux of the childhood learning experience is how do you show those kids that you've been thinking about them while they're not here? Because you are, right? It's not like a fake.
Absolutely.
It's like I'm thinking about you. I saw this at Joann's and I was like, "Yep. We're going to stick these stickers on everything." You know? And so that to me is the core of it of how are you thinking about them when they're not around? And then communicating that to them.
Absolutely. Okay, so to you, what does child-led learning mean?
It means that I need to set up an environment that's ready for every child that walks through the door. And that's not every child in the whole wide world.
No.
That's the 14 that came on Monday. You know what I mean? And so how do I make that environment a place where they're validated and challenged at the same time?
How is that? Is it similar or different, or would you, how would you define emergent curriculum? Because like those kind of buzzy wordies go kind of hand in hand. It's like emergent curriculum, child-led learning. Is it one and the same? Is it different?
I always use them interchangeably.
Okay.
Do you think they're different?
I
It
don't.
never occurred to me.
I don't know. And maybe I'm just thinking about it now. Is it the same thing? Something to think about, something to ponder. I have used it interchangeably as well.
I feel like it kind of slants the emergent curriculum sounds fancier.
It does. Because you
But
can
it
like
also
put that
implies that there's
curriculum word
like,
in there.
yeah, it also implies that like you're putting together a curriculum.
Or like you are actually planning ahead, which
And so this isn't, I plan ahead.
absolutely.
Not, it doesn't look the same as it did my first and second year's teaching,
Right.
but I plan ahead.
Absolutely.
I think our best example is I put out the bird seed in the sensory table. Right when the weather started getting nice, and it was not on purpose. I just bought 40 pounds of bird seed and I needed something to put in the sensory table. I'm like, we got this, it'll be fine.
Amazing.
And then we dumped it all 40 pounds that day on the playground, not like it, but like one spoonful at a time everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
And now every child knows this is a swallow, this is a junco, this is a Steller's jay, that's a turkey vulture. What are they doing here?
Oh my gosh.
And it's just because there were thousands, like you'd be sitting on the slide and there would be a bird on the slide with you.
Oh my goodness. That's
And
magical.
that to me is where that child-led piece is like they were into it. They were talking about birds
So did you
more
pull
than
out, did you
ever.
pull anything into that then besides like how did they learn the names of the birds? Is it just coming straight from the teacher's mouths or was there like other materials you brought in or like how did you do that?
Well, we have a lot of, we have my favorite bird identification book. They are, I think they're like the National Audubon Society field guides, and they're printed like the first, they're these weird little bricks of a book with a leather plain red cover. And the first half is color pictures, and the last half is like Bible paper scientific names. And they're fat, they're like 3-inch thick books. And the kids love them. I had, my grandma had the butterfly and some butterfly and plants once when I was a kid, and they're just like, precious. And so we'd be flipping through and I'd be like, that we saw that, didn't we? And then they'd be, you know, they'd look through and be like, oh, that looks like ours. Whoa. And so like just having books with real pictures is part of it.
Absolutely.
I love coloring pages. So hot topic. I love coloring pages. I printed out coloring pages of all the birds that we'd seen. And so it was just like an outline of a Steller's jay with the word Steller's jay below it. And we just talked about it and we colored them and made paper airplanes out of them. And
Well, and here's the deal. Like, if you're not forcing children to do a coloring sheet and they choose to do it, that's play. It's the same thing with a worksheet. Like, if you have a worksheet out and a child chooses to do a worksheet, like, that's play. I mean, is a worksheet the best way to learn the letter B for bird? I don't know. But,
Probably not, but like it's
yeah.
a way.
A hot topic. Okay, so
But then, so then it's more than just identifying the bird, though, because then it becomes which ones live where and why do the starlings only come through in the afternoon?
Oh, interesting.
And like, how come that one sounds like, ah! And that one sounds like, there's so many, it's the conversations around it and listening and saying, there, how can I think about that and like bring something new to the conversation tomorrow?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm actually, so I'm in the throes of writing a book right now, and in one of the
Yeah,
chapters,
you are.
I know I start with a story about how like I used to do handprint turkeys at in my traditional teaching days, and I would paint their hand for them and then stamp it on the paper, and then the next day they'd come and they glue the googly eye on and the beak that I already cut out for them. And one kiddo at one point was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "Well, it's a turkey." I'm like, "That's not what a turkey looks like. A turkey is meat." And it does not look like this. And from that point on, I was like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't. And so we never did turkeys, like themed turkeys again until we were out at forest school. And this is after I founded Butterfly Hill and had the forest school program going. And we saw a pack of, I don't know if they're called a pack or a flock or what, a dazzle.
Gaggle. It's a gaggle.
It's a gaggle of turkeys. Oh, yeah, we saw a gaggle of wild turkeys. And the children were like, "What are those?" And those are wild turkeys. Like, that's what a turkey looks like that lives out in the woods. And so they wanted to kind of follow them up the trail. So we were way behind them. And then it was snowing. So they saw a whole bunch of footprints in the snow. And they started to have like questions because a turkey's footprints are weird because it looks like they're walking the other direction, their footprints for some reason. Like, they look
Yeah, it's like,
backwards. It's so weird. So they were like, "We can't
yeah.
even tell which way they're walking." Like, they noticed that. They noticed that there's a weird toe on the back. They noticed poop, of course, and we're like looking at the
Yeah,
turkey
turkey poop.
poop and like checking it out, and like, I didn't know turkey poop looked like this. And we found some feathers, and then when we got back, I think it was the next day, I had found a turkey wing in our storage room that somebody brought in. Because people hunt turkeys in our area of the world. And
Yeah.
so we have the whole wing because they just throw the wing away. So we had a wing. I set it out for them to just like explore. And then before you know it, we've got three kids. One of them was my own, it was Channing. Her and these two little twins were taking scissors and they were cutting along the quills, all of the feathers off. So they left the quill, but then cut. So it turned into like this feather dust. And they
Yeah.
collected all the feather dust into a bowl. And then they used that feather dust in an art project later on as like glitter. But they had this turkey wing then that looked like something from Edward Scissorhands. It was amazing. It was so cool. And they spent hours like shredding this turkey wing very intricately, like surgery. It was amazing. And like
Love
that
it.
is child-led learning. Like we saw the turkey.
Yes.
We had all these questions. We tried to answer what we could. We went back, dug some things out of the closet, and then like extended the learning. And then we were done. Nobody cared about turkeys until the next time we were at forest school. Somebody saw tracks and was like, "Oh, turkey tracks." And then that was the end of it. And so I feel like emergent curriculum or child-led learning is really about that, is like seeing what children are curious about. And then finding ways to just expand on that curiosity, whether it's by adding books into the classroom or a turkey wing or telling them a story about an experience that you had that doesn't even have any pictures or it doesn't even have a book to go along with it. It's something that you had experienced as a child or whatever it might be. There's so many ways to just bring in little bits here and there. It doesn't have to be elaborate, like we would think a
Totally.
theme would be. Like, I remember planning for themes. Like, it was so, oh my gosh, it was like every single little thing in
It's
the book had
exhausting.
to do with that theme. Like, why
Yeah.
did we do that?
Well, so here's, I'm not pro theme, but I will say, after theming for like 3 years, I had a ton of stuff. So then when we found a frog on the playground, I was like, You guys want frogs? I got frogs.
I got a
So then
bucket of
it
frog stuff.
right? It became like I used that experience that I, as a young teacher, needed the guidelines to follow to be able to say, well, I've got this bucket of frog stuff and half of it is garbage at this point. But like these gems were the real experience and the real learning moments, not like actually, but like these parts of the frog curriculum were fun and I held dear and we learned a lot. So how can I just say like, oh, we got frogs? I got frogs. Like let's just like seamlessly take out all the dinosaurs and put in a bunch of tiny frogs tomorrow and see what happens. And like
Absolutely.
I was actually just thinking about frogs because one of our kids really wants to build a frog pond on the new playground. And
Ooh.
we have those like Swedish dishcloths for rags
Oh,
and
yeah.
they dry out really crispy and
Yep.
dry. So I was like, ooh, could I like cut some cool lily pad and like ooh, with some like droppers, and I'm like these like so I've packed this away for when we find the real frog. Like we've got some
Ooh.
cool frog stuff to do on the playground and in the
Absolutely.
water table and in the dramatic
Ooh.
play, and you know like,
And chia seeds make look like frog eggs.
love chia seeds. Don't put that chia seed shirt in
Don't
the
put it down
dryer,
the
baby.
drain.
Don't do that. Don't put it down the
Did you learn that from experience, or did somebody tell you that?
drain. Learn that from
Oh
experience.
no, what happened?
It like re-dries as glue. So all of the this was the apron example that I gave earlier. All the aprons like glued to themselves and then like were toast.
Oh
They were
my
just
gosh.
done after they made it through the dryer.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So one time we found tadpoles when we were out of forest school, and we brought some back in a bucket with a whole bunch of pond water. And then we put it in a kiddie pool in our outdoor classroom. It was amazing. We put a bunch of rocks in there and we watched those tadpoles. I mean, like, because we brought the bucket full of pond water, they had sludge to eat and they survived. And then one day we came and they were just all gone because they hopped out. Like, it was like a great learning experience. It was the kids were like, where'd they go? Like legs. Remember? Like, we watched them have little legs, and then pretty soon they're just ready to go. Yeah. They just were gone. Oh my gosh.
That is emergent curriculum. That is like seeing the great. It's like being able to feel the core memory before it drops.
Yeah,
That makes sense.
absolutely. Yes. And I feel like too with emergent curriculum, it's there's not that we shouldn't have this pressure to like follow the interests of every single child, because I mean a child may find interest in one morning building with magnet tiles and they're already there. Like, and we can extend that a little bit by maybe like throwing some pictures of a house or something or a building into the
And dry
dramatic.
erase markers, yeah.
Like, there is little things like that you can do. So like everything doesn't have to be this huge experience that sometimes I think we make it out to be. It can just be little tiny things here and there,
Totally.
and you can pivot so
Absolutely.
fast, and children's in their curiosity changes so quickly that like sometimes it could be just so fleeting that you don't even have time to elaborate on something before they've already moved on to another thing. So I feel like we don't need to beat ourselves up so much, like with trying to like find what every single child is interested in all of the time. However, I do, like you were saying earlier, it is so important to build relationships, to be able to know children, like really know them, because if you really know them, then you can, I mean, the sky's the limit, really, for like extending learning and knowing that like you appreciate them being there and that you've planned things because of them. Like, I think that is important. I
Absolutely.
love that you said that. So,
I think that it's easier to do when you have a lot of time with them. I think that's the other
yeah,
really important piece. Like
absolutely.
to me, the best emergent curriculum moments are when we see something in the morning, then everybody takes a nap and they wake up to like, oh, we saw the elk today. I want to tell you the story about it. And like, oops, we've already put out all the journals. Like that's the and so if you don't have or like the back to back, like if you're here today and we see this, and then tomorrow we talk about this, and then hey, remember those last 2 days. if you don't have a lot of time with that kid, I always feel bad for part-time
Yeah,
kids
same.
because like for them to remember what happened 2 or 3 days ago is just like that's
Absolutely.
asking a lot of a kid.
It
And so
is.
how do you do
Yeah.
meaningful things with that? But I feel
Absolutely.
like that's what makes emergent curriculum easier for me is when you're there every day for 8 hours a day, like
Absolutely.
how else?
Yeah. So that's key. It's like those, yeah, now, because in the at Butterfly Hill, we had full-time and part-time kiddos. And yeah, it was much easier to cater to the kiddos' interests that you spent a way more time with. And it was like, it almost felt like those part-time kiddos kind of fell through the cracks a little bit just because, I don't know, you build such a core relationship group, a core community with those kids who are there every single day. And then the part-time ones come in and it can feel a little bit disjointed sometimes because they
That's
just.
just like child development. Like they don't that like holding memories of things that far apart. Lots
Yeah.
happened between last time we saw each other and today, you know?
Absolutely.
And for those kids that are here every day, it's like, oh, the thing that's happened is we were together. But for the kids that aren't, it's like, well,
Yeah.
I was here and then we went to grandma's and then we went to the grocery store. Like there, it there's more to
Yes.
cram in there.
Do you do any sort of documentation still?
Oh, Lordy, I try.
Okay, tell me what your process is now, because I know it's changed and evolved over time.
Yeah, I miss deeply journaling daily with the kids.
Yeah.
That like big journal together with pictures of our day right then. That is what really tied everything together for the emergent curriculum for me.
Absolutely.
And I have not had the time to do that since.
I started doing that after for a hot minute after I saw your process of journaling with the kids and taking photos. And then I would put the photos in the journal and then lay it out on the table for when the adults from home would come and pick up their kids and they could flip through it if they wanted. But then the journal was also available all the time for kids to flip back and see, oh, remember when? And that was huge too. There's so much conversation that would happen around that book all the time. Loved
Oh,
it.
I miss having the time to do that. We're getting closer.
Yeah.
I think year five in a classroom is the year that you have time to do that level of documentation.
Absolutely. That's about when it was for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
'Cause you
before, I mean, you're
like
really in survival mode when you move. I mean, you move to a whole new building. So now you're back at square one, survival mode, even though it is magical because you've kind of like really designed the space to be efficient and
We're
child
skipping some
friendly.
steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, I
Let's
want
talk
that for
about it.
you.
Another piece of emergent curriculum, though, is rituals.
Okay, tell me more.
And I say rituals, not routines, because routine sounds like you're going to do the same boring thing every day in the same way.
Yeah.
Whereas a ritual is this thing we engage in together that we're excited about.
Yeah.
And so that is sadly where my hand-pred turkeys come in. Because 1 year I made hand-pred turkeys because I wanted one from my kid. And we did it on like a ceramic plate.
Yeah.
And we have kids for multiple years and they're like, we're gonna make turkeys again?
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I guess we are. And
I mean, it becomes like there's
I
a culture
guarantee after
around
this
you.
year, what?
There's like a culture that like starts to
Yeah,
grow within your community, or your own program of like things that happen all the time, just because some kids figured it out years ago. And like it just always happens because you always have overlap of kids. And yeah.
Yeah,
So
I
hand-pred turkeys
guarantee.
are a thing.
Hand protectors are a thing. I guarantee that decorating the whole classroom for Valentine's Day. I mean, it was always, we love to decorate for holidays just because it feels like it gives our process-based art a little bit more purpose of like, oh yeah,
Yeah.
we want to hang it up. But this year we hung, like it was our first year with the drop ceilings
Yeah.
and we hung everything up. And the
Oh
kids were just like, it is beauty. So
my gosh.
we're going to decorate for Valentine's Day every year. And we also always check in and find our names in the morning.
Yeah.
And we have a new question on the board every day. Usually it's pretty low key. I like to practice democracy. Sometimes we vote about where we're going to go
Ooh, I
or what
like
kind of
that.
ice cream we're going to get for the party. Like We want it to be a meaningful vote.
Oh, I like that.
And that's where like the ritual is that you find your name and like figure out what kind of the direction for this question is going to be every day. And it's also like, who is here today? Oh, there, my name is here. They haven't forgotten me. And I noticed that my friend hasn't done theirs yet, and I don't want them to miss out, and I want them to do this with me, so we're going to do it together. So like that to me is the ritual, not the routine of it, that like we want to partake in this thing together. And that is where you can really push your emergent curriculum to be like an example for us is we used to move the rocks with the names, and now we have magnets with these giant names. And so like making it, and it's all on this giant chalkboard and it takes up all this space. And so the ritual is that we answer the question, but it's like, how, what are they interested in right now? How do we make it stick with that?
Oh, we used to do morning. Well, they still do at Butterfly Hill, morning check-in. I loved that little one-on-one time with every kiddo as they came in. Thought that was really important.
And when we're in a really good journaling, because like the kids have their own journals that they draw in and write in, when we're in a good journaling habit, which usually means like all the teachers have been healthy for a long time, and like because if there's like six different subs every day, then you know we're not getting to like the real nitty-gritty emergent curriculum. We are making it through the day.
Absolutely.
But when we have that stability and the journals are out, it's like, oh, we have this. Oh, we're gonna start our day by drawing a volcano every day for a week. Like having that little ritual of like this is a thing that's special to me and to us. Then you can kind of push from that. Trying to think of what other rituals. We love to pass out milk and give each other milks and waters. We love to get each other's waters. Now the ritual is you get your water and then like say your letters out loud to each other. And it wasn't anything that I like. One day, one kid asked, BR, BR, Brantley, BR. And I was like, yeah, here they all are. They're on there. And now it's like every single kid needs the letters read every day. I
That's
didn't do
funny.
anything. That is them being
Wow.
interested. And like, that is the core of emergent curriculum that we have their names on their things. And we have this. We always put the water bottles in the same place and they find it. And now they're finding each other's because they want to bring everybody's waters out. And hey, your friend got hurt. Can you go get it? Like those little rituals of emergent curriculum are also really important because it's not just what are you putting out on a table?
Oh
They're
my
all good.
gosh. Yeah, I've never really thought of it in that way of like, and those rituals, they change from group to group because it's really
Absolutely.
like a lot of them are child-led. Not all, but like the letters on the cups. Like that was a child-led thing that just happens organically now all of the time. And it may peter out over time, might change and evolve and be something different in a few weeks. And that's what emergent curriculum is. Like that is, it's going by what the children are, what they, you know, what they got going on, and letting them take some control over things that happen and some of those rituals and making up their own. And they don't even know that they're making up a ritual. Like,
Yeah, so true. I'm
just,
trying to think of like, do we have any like really I always tend to talk about the more academic focused ones because I feel like that's how you speak wolf.
Absolutely.
But like there are plenty of other silly little ones that like I can't even I'll think of one. But that like aren't academic. They're just like a thing that
Absolutely.
we do together because we live here.
Well, so like one of the one at Butterfly Hill, I don't know if it still lives on after I left, but there was a water, actually, I think it probably doesn't because the water tower got taken down, but there was a water tower right across the road from Butterfly Hill. And I was trying to keep the kids occupied for something because the teachers were trying to get all their lunches out on the tables. And so I started telling a story about mermaids that live in the water tower. And like it just like evolved, and then it was this very intricate story. And then all the children thought that there was mermaids in this water tower, and that like lived on, that story lived on for years. because I told to one group and then they just like would talk about the mermaids and the other kids would be like, what about these mermaids? And then I'd have to like retell a version of the story and it would change and evolve over time. But I mean, even something like that, like a ritual story that lives on. And I, you know, that's probably
Yeah.
has a lot to do with like why fairy tales still are thing, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's
Definitely. Oh, I thought of one for
so
us.
magical. Okay, tell me.
At any point in time on any hike, somebody goes, "Oh, oh," and then we all howl for like 45 seconds to a minute.
Oh my gosh.
And I think it's be I mean, we always kind of talk about like you got to stay with the wolf pack.
Yeah.
But one time we howled and the toddlers howled back
Oh my
because they were
gosh.
like a couple trails over and it was just like,
Oh my God, that's so cute.
so like
Aww.
those are the little rituals that I don't know. They're important
Are,
too. They're part of
and
emerging curriculum.
they're magical. And those are the things that you
They're
think about
magical.
and like appreciate when you are reflecting on your space and your time with the kids. Aw, that's so cool.
Oh,
Well,
I love
Tiffany,
it. Well, Kristen,
it's been fun
we'll see you next time on Q&A.
with T&K.
We can end it, but we can't start it. What does that say about us?
I
Oh, maybe we had like a pre-recorded one. I bet that's what it was.
I
That
love
we
it.
like.
We probably would say hi to each other. There had to be a way that we said hi to each other. I mean, now we're gonna have to go back and listen.
We're gonna have to, you're gonna have to edit it in right now
Oh
in this
my
episode.
gosh. Okay, tell people where they can find you.
I'm Tiffany Pearsall. I founded and co-direct Play Frontier in Carson, Washington. Instagram at Play Frontier and online www.playfrontier.org.
Do you even have to tell people WWW anymore, or has that just made you age you?
I feel like saying playfrontier.org, like, is that just doesn't sound like,
You don't have to type the W's anymore.
but it doesn't feel complete without them. So I also, our email is at playfrontier.org.
Your what?
Our emails,
Oh,
so I'm
your
Tiffany
emails.
at
Oh,
playfrontier.org. So I feel
okay.
like if I don't put the www, then it could just be like,
I don't know. I don't feel
yeah,
like
it feels nebulous.
I don't feel
Am I
like people
old?
say
Am I an old now?
WWW anymore.
Oh,
I'm
I
going to
could
do
just
an
be
Instagram poll on this to
old.
see
Could just be old. That is part of it.
if you
I'm
put
30. I'm 37
WWW.
now, Kristen.
Oh my gosh. You're almost 40.
Almost 40. I'm gonna be a rockin' grandma someday.
I cannot wait to be a grandma. What's your grandma name going to be?
Fanny.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Been waiting my whole life to be Fanny.
Yes, you have. Mine, I haven't decided. It's either going to be Queenie
Ooh, I really wanted to
or
name Judy that.
you did like
Yeah,
from the Bears
Queenie,
to Bears.
Teeny, more from Harry Potter, but go on.
Oh. Who's Queenie in Harry
In the
Potter?
new ones? Isn't she in the new ones?
No. The new ones,
Yeah.
like Fantastic
With Newt
Beasts.
Scamander. Yeah, she's in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, well, you know what? I
Isn't
did
that
know about this a little bit. I haven't seen any of them, but we were just at Harry Potter World, me and my kids, and the wand that I picked out was Queenie's wand. And I should
so
have
Queenie it is. I mean, we've answered the question. You
got it.
are a
But also, it could be
Queenie.
Sunny or Goldie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are all good too.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just love Queenie.
Sunny's a good one.
Fanny's great. Well, thank you for listening to the end of the podcast. If you got this far,
We
now
made
you
it to
know
the
Tiffany and
end.
I want to be called for grandmas. Okay.
Can't
I love
wait.
you. Thanks for being
Thanks for having me.
here. If you liked what you heard today, share this podcast with your coworkers, admin, or maybe even your partner. And I love getting 5-star reviews so more people can embrace play. Hit follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. Or connect with me on Instagram or my website, kristenrbpeterson.com. Until next time.